We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Herbie, let's go.
Lawrence Holmes live from Chicago, middays noon to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and Odyssey Station.
Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Can you dig it?
In the first hour of the show, we talked a lot about the report of Brad Biggs, who shared it here on The Score and in the Tribune, that there are people around the league who think that Ryan Pace could stay in the Bears organization. It has created a rage response for me that I'm trying to work through as the
Zach
show goes.
Zach Morris is trash.
He is trash. He's very trash. But here's the thing. Last night, I texted Matthew Collar and I said, look, can we just commiserate about these two franchises? Can we commiserate about the Vikings and the Bears? I don't want to talk about the game at all. And he's like, sure. So I'm glad that he's here because he's smart. He's been covering the NFC North for a really long time. You can check out his podcast. It's a Blue Wire podcast, the Purple Insider podcast, where he talks about the Vikings. He's a friend of this show. He visits with us routinely. He joins me now on the Circuit Resort and Casino hotline. Circuit Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. Matt, how are you, man?
You know, I would just like to thank the National Football League for adding a Week 18 because, boy, it's just so meaningful this week. I mean, we're all excited. You had the world is so bored this week that they're trashing some guy for calling Aaron Rodgers a jerk as if that's a hot take. Like, come on, world. Did we really need this final week of us to sit here and wait for people to get fired?
No, we don't. We don't. And apologies to Lauren Cox. I know that the two of you did something similar on your podcast where you were kind of going through it. And I thought that Lauren did a really good job of like breaking down some of the X's and O's stuff that's going on with the Bears. I don't have the energy or the patience to even really do that with you. But let me ask you this, Matt. Which franchise right now, as we sit here in 2022, do you feel like is on more solid ground, the Bears or the Vikings?
Yeah, that's an interesting question, the way that you phrase it, because if you phrased it, which team has a better chance to be good next year, I would say the Chicago Bears because of the quarterback. Because when you look around the league, no matter how much of a disaster a franchise seems like they are, if the second year of that quarterback that you drafted works out, all of a sudden you are gold. I mean, were any of us saying, hey, man, those Cincinnati Bengals, everybody look out? Like, no, the Cincinnati Bengals ownership is terrible. I've never even heard of their coach before. Like, what are they doing? A lot of people thought they should draft a tackle instead of a receiver. And then now all of a sudden, like, whoa, the Cincinnati Bengals are this up-and-coming team. The Vikings don't really have that possibility because either it's going to be Kirk Cousins or a rookie quarterback or Ryan Fitzpatrick and then a rookie sitting. Like, those options aren't particularly good, as you saw this year with Andy Dalton and Justin Fields. So on solid ground usually just means the quarterback, because the quarterback, if he's good, can make everybody else look good. And again, use Aaron Rodgers as your example. Like, Aaron Rodgers wanted to burn that franchise to the ground. He was calling everybody an idiot and saying how wrong he was for the roster, and oops, there they are again, 13-3. Like, that's what it can do. And so the Bears are more in a situation than that than the Vikings, though neither franchise can feel very good about itself today.
What do you think have been the biggest issues for the Vikings as a franchise? Like, what has been the thing that you think maybe is a connecting thread on why they have so many problems?
Yeah, I mean, the thing is that when anytime we analyze football, we have to find other things to say other than it's the quarterback. I mean, realistically, though, it was the quarterback. In 2017, they went to the NFC Championship with Case Keenum, and then after that, they decided we're going to gather all the world's cap space and throw it at Kirk Cousins, who was an average quarterback in Washington and has been an average quarterback in Minnesota. He hasn't been any different than he was when they signed him. They had a 3-year sample of him as a full-time starter to go off of, and they said, yes, this is the person we should dump heaps of money on, which ultimately, if you do that, what you have to do around that is you have to get really lucky on hitting on draft picks, which they haven't. You have to be really pragmatic and smart about who you sign and have those signings work out, and players you keep. They have not done that. They gave a bunch of money to Anthony Barr. They even this year just signed Harrison Smith to a kind of ludicrous contract extension. They brought in people like Bashaud Breeland and thought that that would fix the cornerback group. And really what it comes down to is after you do that with the quarterback, it's all about desperation to keep our jobs, because you know if that doesn't work out, everyone's fired. And, well, you know, when you make desperate trades for Yannick Ngakoue and desperate signings to try and fix the defense in 1 year, this is kind of what you end up with when you don't have Aaron Rodgers to just make you look like a genius, even if you make a bunch of mistakes.
Do you think that Rick Spielman's good at his job?
No, I definitely don't. No, I mean, I think that they ran into some things that work with the 2015 draft, where they got Stephon Diggs, Danielle Hunter, and Eric Kendricks in one draft. And I think that they were already in the process of building a good defense that worked perfectly with Mike Zimmer to get them where they were for that 1 year. But outside of that 1 year, you look at the totality of the Zimmer era and go, meh. I mean, the 2015 season was good, and they went 11-5 and won the division. So you get credit for that. But past that, I mean, it's really a one pop-up season, kind of like Matt Nagy, where just the defense came together and everything worked out. Rodgers got hurt. The Vikings were the ones who hurt him. I mean, like, everything worked out great for them for that 1 year. But aside from that, I mean, really, to me, it's when you look at the totality of the drafting, the signing, the decision at the quarterback, and then to re-sign Cousins to an extension after you saw 2 years of it not really working, I mean, all these things don't come together and say, oh, yeah, well, boy, they know exactly what direction they're going. And then there were just silly and hilarious things, like trading a fourth-round pick for Chris Herndon. Like, the fourth-string tight end from the New York Jets is worth a fourth-round pick. Okay. So there were, you know, mixed in with the bigger picture decision of signing Cousins, which ultimately brought this franchise to where it is, there were a lot of really silly kind of ridiculous things along the way, including the fact that they could never get him a guard, and the Bears have been the biggest beneficiaries of this. Akeem Hicks, you know, might get another huge contract just because of the Vikings' interior offensive line. I mean, not being able to, you know, find a third wide receiver, find a guard, find a center, like be able to, you know, fix an offensive line around this quarterback that you gave all the money to. None of it really fits together, and they need a complete overhaul, coach, quarterback, and general manager.
So what you're saying is that if the Vikings move on from Rick Spielman, the Bears shouldn't hire him to be in charge of football.
No, I think that would be a mistake. I mean, but again, you know, what it all comes down to is, you know, when the Vikings had Teddy Bridgewater on a rookie contract, they were able to bring in some people, free agents. They got lucky in a draft, and all of a sudden, you know, you're talking executive of the year, and that's how random these things can be. I think that when you put people in positions where they feel like they're fighting for their jobs all the time, they do some stuff that doesn't make any sense, just like anybody does in any position, right? You know, I how about this? When my radio station was about to go down, you know, we had some contest where it was like fans do a show and some, you know, fan can win a weekend show or something. They're like, what are we doing here? Just like goofy stuff to try and get anybody to pay attention to us. And it's like, that's the same sort of stuff that general managers do. Like, oh man, our kicker missed three kicks in one game. Cut him. Because we can't lose because of the kicker. And now Daniel Carlson's the best kicker in the league. Like, what are you doing here? So there were a lot of those things. They franchise tagged Anthony Harris as if you and I couldn't play next to Harrison Smith, right? Just things like that never really added up. But then when you pull back and go, oh, the guy was desperate and felt like he needed to save his job with every move. So I say he doesn't really have a clue when it comes to how they built the team, but I also like sympathize with that in a way and understand a lot of the moves more when you look at it through like trying to save your job.
I know that I'm close to all of this stuff. I talk about it every day. So I occasionally like to give fresh eyes on the situation to tell me if I'm off. You covered this division, so obviously you were paying attention to what the Bears do. Is there something that I'm missing about the tenure of Ryan Pace as their general manager?
No, I don't think so. I think that there are tons of reasonable criticisms of Matt Nagy, but I also look at the offensive line as maybe the biggest indictment. And didn't Washington just sign Charles Leno to a huge deal?
Yes.
You look like that's when players start going other places and playing well and things like that. But, you know, you draft a rookie quarterback and then don't give him an offensive line. I mean, just something as simple as that, like defenses, I don't know, defenses come and go, man. It's like one year they're good, one year they're not. That's why it's always tough to hire a defensive head coach, because you expect that they're just going to be great at defense all the time. And then, whoops, you lost three players to injury and you're not good anymore. But when it comes to something as simple as investing so much on a rookie quarterback, knowing he's going to play, and then having that, calling up Jason Peters and be like, you still alive, Jason? Can you, like, you know, just try to block some people? Like, come on. I mean, this is your answer. So, yeah, I think that that right there, and then, like, again, the sort of the totality of it, I think that the Justin Fields decision is a really good one, and also that quarterback drafting is random. So, yeah, the Trubisky draft pick is pretty bad, but, look, who thought Mac Jones was going to be the best quarterback of all the rookies this year? I mean, not me. So, you know, that's kind of random, but it's more of like, does it all fit together? Does it seem like there's rhyme and reason to things? And with the Bears, I would say probably not so much.
Matt, I appreciate this, man. I really do. I feel bad that you're going to watch that game in person. I heard you talking about the press box, and yes, it does seem like things have gotten better. We're not just talking about cold bananas anymore in press boxes. I'm sorry, man. I'm sorry that you have to watch the team that the Bears are going to send up there and the team that your hometown has.
Did you like any of my jokes in my Vikings and Bears roast, though? Because I was proud of the, hey, my great-grandfather remembers the last time the Bears had a good quarterback.
I thought that all of your jokes about the Bears were on point. And they were funny and sad because there was a lot of truth in your comedy. That's why it was funny and sad. Sir, have a great weekend up there, man.
Yep, thanks for having me. We'll see what we can do here. I guess maybe I'll watch the other games on the TVs in the press box.
Maybe. That is Matthew Collar. For the texter that's saying, ask Fitz what he thinks of Charles Leno. Every tackle gives up sacks. The point that was made was Charles Leno was a middle-of-the-road tackle that still had good football left in him, and that the Bears moved on from Charles Leno without an actual backup plan of someone playing left tackle in the NFL. You could be mad at Charles Leno for all you want for penalties that you watch during the game. The guys played well and ends up getting – so here's what you know. He at least had two more years left in him. This year, and Washington is going to pay upfront money for what they expect to be a good year next year. And you didn't have a someone with – this is the type of stuff that makes me really mad. And it was first guessed, not second guessed. You want to move on from Charles Leno? Okay. To upgrade, you move on from him. Not question mark. The money that they haven't spent on the offensive line, where you walk into a season without a left tackle, you do find a left tackle, and he ends up being the best offensive lineman on your team. A guy that was retired was better than the other guys that you selected and had on your roster. That's damning. I'm not going to do this, man. I feel like Bernie Mac right now. I ain't scared of you. And I'm trying so hard. The path of the righteous man is beset on all sides by the inequities of the selfish and the tyranny of evil men. Blessed is he who in the name of charity and goodwill shepherds the weak through the valley of darkness, for he is truly his brother's keeper and the finder of lost children. And I will strike down with great vengeance and furious anger those who would poison and destroy my brothers. And you will know my name is the Lord when I lay my vengeance upon thee.
Shaheen's talented.
Oh, my God. How about some good news? Io got his jersey retired down in Champaign. And DeMar DeRozan was sitting right there with him. That's dope. Jeremy Warner was in the house for that. I'm going to talk with him about it next here on The Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Lawrence Holmes live from Chicago, middays noon to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and Odyssey Station.
16 seconds for the game. Frazier, step back, 3, yes. More cash for Frazier. The big man, Kofi Coburn, leads Illinois in the comeback with another double-double and a big one. 23-18 they've got him with. Illinois 76. Maryland 64.
Oh, I mean, it's special, you know. It just shows the type of person he is to come out here and be there for me in this time, you know, this special time. So for him to be here, it just shows, you know, what kind of person he is, what kind of leader he is.
Io DeSumo talking about having his number retired and having his teammate DeMar DeRozan make the trek to Champaign and sit there with him while all of this stuff was going on. Jeremy Warner wrote a really good piece about it on IlliniInquirer.com. He was in the house for it, got a chance to talk with the particulars in this story. He joins me now on the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline. Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. Jeremy, Happy New Year. What was it like to be in the building for all of that yesterday?
Thanks for having me on, Lawrence. Yeah, I mean, it was just, for me, covering Io, it took me back to when I was at the Jordan Brand store in 2017, I believe it was, in October, right before signing day. And Io DeSumo commits to Illinois. And you know, for 10 years, Lawrence, I feel like I've covered Illinois basketball recruiting, and Illinois fans are waiting for the savior to kind of bring them back to the golden era of the early 2000s, or if you're the older generation of the 80s, right? And what Jimmy Collins was able to get out of Chicago. They're just waiting for this one in-state kid to commit to Illinois and change everything. And Jalen Brunson, who can't blame him, went to Villanova, won a couple of national titles. Cliff Alexander did the hat fake and went to Kansas. And then finally, Io DeSumo takes on the pressure. Now, he didn't have Kansas and some of these other, you know, Villanovas offering him, but he decided, I will take on the pressure of all that, and almost welcomed it. And you, as a reporter myself, I was like, hey, maybe this kid isn't like the savior. Maybe you shouldn't have that kind of, you know, kind of pressure on him. But he wanted it. He wanted that. And for 5 years later, to have his jersey raised to the rafters, it was pretty momentous that he lived up to all that hype, like to a smaller extent, right? It felt like, you know, LeBron James, what he's done, given all the hype he had, is pretty amazing, because it's like he lived up to it and maybe even superseded what everyone was kind of bringing him up to be on Sports Illustrated as the chosen one. Io DeSumo lived up to every kind of almost ridiculous expectation Illinois fans had of him outside the NCAA tournament, of course. But to have that moment, I thought was pretty cool. And you mentioned it, for DeMar DeRozan to come down and on his off day, guy who's making almost $30 million a year, to come down for a kid who's 11 years younger than him, and to take an off day and make that 5-hour round trip, spend 2 or 3 hours here, I thought said a lot about DeMar DeRozan, but I think it also said a lot about Io DeSumo and what DeMar thinks of him and what that franchise thinks of him. And I think everyone just appreciates what Io DeSumo is, which is just a pro, man, just a pro and an example of what you want, whether you're a Chicago native, an Illinois fan, or a Bulls fan.
Take me back to when people down in Champaign thought that they were losing Io to the NBA, and what it was that NBA people told him he needed to work on that pushes him back to Champaign.
Yeah, Warrington, it was twice. It was twice people thought that Io was going to leave Illinois, because he probably could have been a second round pick after his first year. But, you know, he had some ups and downs. He didn't win really anything here, and he wanted to come back and not only improve his draft stock potentially to first rounder, but just help Illinois get back to the NCAA tournament, because they didn't do it his freshman year. Of course, the pandemic stopped that, but he made Illinois a top four team in the Big Ten, really improved his mid-range game. His three-point shooting went down, though. The NBA wanted to see him shoot the ball better, wanted to see him take care of the ball a little bit more, distribute to his teammates. And then his junior year, he comes back, which I think was a huge blessing for Illinois, because I think he would have been a second-round pick. But he decided to come back, that he wasn't ready, that he wanted to hit the ground running once he got to the NBA. Like, he and his family, Lawrence, are – is realistic, and I would say is, I guess some of these people think they're going to hit the NBA and be great right away. No, Io knew that, hey, I have to be ready for this. Like, I can't go there and not do anything for 2 years. So they decided, we want to come back. We can help Illinois, but we can also help ourselves a lot. And I think leaving a legacy at Illinois matters, because you have nights like last night where he wouldn't have had his jersey raised to the rafters if he left after his sophomore year. He didn't meet the certain criteria to get it, but he came back, was an All-American, and then all of a sudden he's raised to the rafters like that. I think that's very valuable for him in his long-term of life. But on the basketball court, he was a lot better shooter. Lawrence shot 40%+ from three, and that has carried over into the NBA. I think he got a little bit better defensively, but even for me, I always thought he could be even better defensively. And I think we're starting to see that at the NBA, but it's not a surprise to me that he's doing that, because he knows that's his ticket. He knows that's how he gets his second big contract, is if I give Caris LeVert, Trae Young, some of these NBA all-stars fits, like the Bulls are going to keep me around. Like, I can score a little bit. Everyone knows that. But if I play two ways, I can make it in the NBA for a long time. And that's what he's done every year, Lawrence, is he just added to his game. And he's such a student of the game, such a basketball junkie, that's why I was surprised he fell in the second round, because I think his character, his basketball character, is through the roof, and you knew he'd get the most out of himself.
I want to talk about that a little bit. He seems so self-aware and mature. Mm-hmm. And I get that he's older than a lot of rookies in the NBA. But he seems to have taken the college experience, and I mean all of it, and really used it to his advantage to grow as a person. Is that a fair assessment?
Absolutely. And you have to credit the people around him. you know, you can argue nature versus nurture, but he had a lot of nurture around him. And in a lot of ways, I think you compare it to Derrick Rose. Being able to get where Derrick Rose got was due to the people around him, but also with Io, his father, Kwame, his mother, Jamara, his whole family. It's just such a tight-knit group, and they were all in on this. Like, this was a plan for them, kind of like the Balls, right? Like, you see LeVar, you can argue with his ways that he did it, but he raised some dang good basketball players who got pretty good heads on their shoulders right now, right? So I think the Dosunmus did a great job of saying, hey, if we want to do this, you have to put the work in. You got to study. You have to be a good person, all those different things. And you have to listen to coaching, right? Like, Io, you know, Brad Underwood was able to yell at him, right? When you're able to go at your best player and demand more from him, that's a good sign for a team, a good sign for a program. And then he pushes himself to get better, and that pushes everyone else to be better. So the fact that Io understood that would make him better, that's not a surprise, though, because his hero is Kobe Bryant. And I, when I say this, like, he's a basketball junkie. He can bring up, like, guys who played when we were growing up, Lawrence. Like, he can go back to the 80s, 90s and, like, talk about these different players, what they do. And then, of course, he's got his heroes now of Derrick Rose, Kobe Bryant. But he lives basketball. Some guys want to be great at basketball. Other guys do what they need to be great at basketball. And I would assume was certainly the latter there.
We had Arturis Karnišovas on the station yesterday, and he was talking about how Io has already exceeded their expectations. And we're 36 games in to this season. I agree. Like, I'm amazed at how his game has really worked with everyone else. And I think that what you saw with DeMar DeRozan wasn't just a vet looking out for a rook. I think that there's a respect there to the way that Io approaches the game. And it seems like from everyone that's around the Bulls that this is a guy that stays in vets' ears. What can I do to get better? How did you do that? All of that stuff. And that, again, goes back to the way that he has been brought up, the great job that his family has done with him, and him wanting to take to coaching to get better.
Yeah, and I would add the guys at the Mac Irvin Fire, the Irvins who coached him in high school, did a great job with him as well. I covered him for 3 years of college, Lawrence, as he did all these great things. And even me, looking at the Bulls roster with what they signed this offseason, I'm like, he might have to spend some time in the G League. And maybe the COVID and all that with all these guys being out certainly opened up a door for him where he's gotten more playing time than maybe we expected. But the reason he's playing is because Billy Donovan trusts him. The vets trust him. They think that when he's on the court, he's going to play like a vet. And that's the word I would always use for Io is even when he's a freshman, sophomore, and like interviews with us, like sometimes for a freshman, sophomore, you can look like you're out of place, right? You can be really nervous. Io was, he's a pro, and he's been studying pros and how they do things. And that's why he's always in DeMar's ear, Zach's ear about, hey, what do I need to do to get better? And it's the same thing with the coaching staff for sure. And I know, the assistant staff, he's really close up there with the Bulls as well. So, yeah, it's not a surprise. And that's why, like, I was surprised when he fell to the second round because, listen, Josh Christopher, Bones Hines, like all these different players are really talented. I can't blame. And some of them are playing pretty well. But with Io, I just knew whatever his ceiling is in the NBA, he's going to get there. Because his drive, his basketball character, just how hard he works and wants to be great, I just know he's going to reach that. Whether that's a rotation player in the NBA, whether that's a starter, whether that's an all-star, I'm not sure. But I know he's going to reach it. So I think the Bulls did get a steal at pick 38. And I think for Io, it can work out in the long run because he gets to his second contract a little quicker and he can make some of that big money quicker.
I think that he's already made the money. Like, I think that he's already put enough – on tape in the NBA that even if he had some sort of downturn that people would be like, yeah, I saw him play 40 games with the Bulls and he was an integral part of what they were doing. So, I hope that he gets every single dollar that he wants because the kid seems to want it bad and he's willing to learn and earn it. And he's already like a fan favorite. Like, people, but you add, there's a lot of pressure when it comes to players from Chicago playing in Chicago. But I think that people, the way that they've reacted to him, the way that they They interact with us here on the station. Whenever we talk about IO, we put something up on social. Like, people want to see that kid win. And there's something about his story that draws all of us in, and we go, yeah, man, that you might not have been the most athletically gifted player, but we're seeing you get maximize everything that you have every minute that you're on the floor, and it's hard not to respect the hell out of that.
Yeah, and sometimes, Lawrence, when a guy gets drafted his hometown, it can be a negative, right?
Like,
you have distractions. With Io, I think it's the best thing in the world because he wants that. Like, he wants that spotlight. He thrives in that. I mean, he had more clutch shots in Illinois than anyone. Like, he wants those moments. He's told us, that's what I live for. So to do it in front of his hometown crowd, I think, is great. It's great for the Bulls marketing, right, to have that kind of guy. And it's great for Illinois to have a Chicago kid who became an All-American, who led Illinois back to the top of the Big Ten, now playing on the best Bulls team since Derrick Rose, another Chicago kid, was there. It's a great recruiting tool. It's a great recruiting tool when DeMar DeRozan shows up on your campus. Brad Underwood was saying, hey, if any Bulls want to come down for a game, we got a front court seat for you. It just makes you a little cooler when you got a guy like that there, but especially a guy like Io who just does everything right.
The Illini are headed towards, you know, being seriously thought of and ranked, right?
I've thought for probably the last 3 weeks, Lawrence, that they're a top 20 team, but their resume just wasn't quite there. It's there now. They're clearly a different team than when they started 2-2. Listen, it was a terrible loss at Marquette without Kofi Coburn. They turned it over 25 times. Andre Curbelo was awful in that game. Then the Cincinnati game was an absolute disaster, basically getting crushed. I think it was 60-30 over the last couple minutes, last 30 minutes of the game. But since then, they've won 9 of 10. They've beaten a bunch of high-major teams. The one team they lost to was Arizona, which I think is a top-five team and national title contender. They lost to them at home. But, man, Kofi Coburn, it's another Illini legend. You get back-to-back guys, and that's why Illinois is back to the top of the Big Ten. He's just – no one can guard him in college basketball. I guess Arizona's guy did, but there's very few guys who are able to guard him and bother him. And then when you have the shooters like you do – and I'll give this to Brad Underwood. His teams always get better as the season goes along, and they always get better defensively as the season goes along. So last night against Maryland, they get down when Kofi Coburn's on the bench, but they're a plus 28 when he's on the floor. They're one of the best teams in the Big Ten. I just think they have such a high floor that I think it'll be them and either Ohio State, Purdue, or Michigan State. Those four teams probably fighting for a Big Ten championship late in March. But, Illinois basketball for a third straight year, Lawrence, is fighting atop the Big Ten, which it's been a while. It's been a long time since that's happened. But it's certainly a credit to Brad Underwood, Kofi Coburn, Io DeSumo doing it, but Trent Frazier, Damonte Williams, some super seniors who helped build this thing too.
Go read Jeremy's piece on IlliniInquirer.com about Io and DeMar and his thoughts on the game. He's terrific. We love visiting with him. Thanks so much for joining me, man. I appreciate it.
Anytime. Have a great weekend, Lawrence.
You too. That is Jeremy Warner from the Illini Inquirer. That was nice, man. Like, I was flipping around yesterday. I was like, oh, yeah, Illini on. Let me watch the Illini. And literally as I flipped over, I was like, oh, bleep. That's right. They're doing the Io. And I was like, oh, bleep. DeMar is there. That says something. That says something about a bunch of things. Let me try to rattle them off pretty quickly. It says something about DeMar DeRozan. It says something about his leadership and his willingness to give what he knows to a young player. It says something tremendous about Io, that he is the type of person that DeMar on a cold night would make the drive down to Champaign and back when he could be resting. It says something about Io that he is willing to do that. It also says something about, people always talk about culture. It says something about this group of Bulls and that they do seem to be in it together. I don't know if that means they're going to end up winning a championship, but I know that they are doing everything that they can to try and win one. Congratulations to Io and his family and all of his coaches for getting him to this point. And really, congratulations to him for being willing to use college for what it's for. I can tell you, as a quasi-academic, there is nothing better than when you see someone like fully actualize all the gifts that they have as a student. There's nothing better than that. When you have a student that comes in at the first part of a semester, or DePaul, it's quarters, and you see that exponential growth, and maybe it's not even like the final product, like they turned in this incredible final or anything like that, but you see that the light is clicked on, and it seems like Io's light clicked on a long time ago. And that's difficult for a lot of teenagers. The light clicked on for this kid, and he was like, let me get every bit of information that I can get to help make the best decision that for me and my family. We can't say enough nice things about what this kid has already done, and I think that it speaks volumes that DeMar DeRozan was right there, sitting right there next to him. That's the type of team you can root for. Back after this on The Score.
Lawrence Holmes live from Chicago, middays noon to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and Odyssey Station.
Learning when a quarterback is ready to take that next step is a little bit more art than it is science. Like, we all have the different things that we use to try to use as markers of this quarterback has gotten better, this quarterback is regressing, all of this stuff. I'm going to give you this resume of a rookie quarterback over the last 6 games. You ready? 100 of 152, 66% completion rate. 1,316 yards. 2 300-yard games. 2 passer rating games above 100. 8 touchdowns, 3 interceptions. Herbie, do you know who this quarterback is that I'm talking about?
I do not.
You want to take a guess?
Justin Fields?
No, God, no.
The guy in Detroit?
Nope. That he's not a rookie. I'm talking about rookie quarterbacks.
Oh, okay. Let me go with... No, it wasn't Trey Lance, so I'm done.
Davis Mills. Davis Mills has balled out over the last 6 weeks of the season for the Houston Texans. He's actually, in the last 6 weeks, played better than Mac Jones. The point I'm making is small sample sizes can cause all of us to be really stupid. Now, I think that there is something to the idea of a player getting better at the end of his rookie year, but it's art more than it is science. Knowing what you know about what Davis Mills has done over the last month and a half, would you trade him right now for Justin Fields? No, because you think that he's got more upside. Something to keep an eye on and something to keep in mind. I will talk with Parkins and Spiegel next here on The Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.